This morning we are turning back to a series on doctrine, moving back into that, and for the next 4 weeks we're going to be considering some aspects of the ministry and person of God the Holy Spirit. And as we continue to wade through the deep and often muddy waters of COVID-19, the response of our federal and provincial governments and the various responses of people, we can get weary, and we can wonder where we should turn for help. And in these next few weeks, we are going to be considering that we have the presence and the help of Christ, the presence and the help of the Father in the person of God the Holy Spirit, who indwells his children and is there to provide every spiritual benefit that our great God supplies. Before we jump into this great topic, let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Father, I pray this morning that human understanding would not get in the way of an understanding of your word. We pray that you would teach us, that you would guide us, that you would help us to rejoice in what you have provided in kindness for us. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. The message today, the title I've given it is "The Holy Spirit is sent from God the Father and the Son to be our comforter and helper." As I mentioned a little bit earlier when I first started to lead the service this morning, you know that I've been with a group of students in the Far East, been teaching a course on the life of Christ. I've had to, thankfully, I'm generally an early riser because I've certainly had to get up early in these weeks, in this week, because I have to get online by around 5:30 or so to allow students to begin to come on by 6 o'clock. And then our class went for those 4 hours. I had some people ask me, do I still have any voice left? Or I had somebody ask me that and wondered, you know, how am I going to endure that time? And I reminded them that my dear brother Fleming has reminded me a number of times that the strongest muscle in my body has to be this one that moves my mouth, because I seem to be able to do that a lot. So by the grace of God, able to do it. And there are 2 more days in which to teach these dear brothers and sisters. Encourage you to pray for the church around the world. As you know, they're living in challenging days, and not only are they contending with COVID, but with the threat of persecution, and with the threat of COVID, government's taken it on their hands to do even more surveillance in the country than what they used to, and the result is that that some of these brothers and sisters are even in more dangerous situations. The practice of the church that the mission I've worked with is to go to the church that doesn't follow the government mandate, but a church that would be more in a area where they're trying to be more careful and not be identified by the government. So continue to pray for them and for the threats that are very real towards their freedom. Now, so far they've been very receptive to the course, so I'm thankful to be able to help these brothers and sisters in Jesus think more about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you can imagine, as a result of having to do this teaching, I've been spending more time in the Gospels than usual, in the 4 Gospels that we have, because of course that's where we primarily hear about the life and teaching of Jesus. Certainly the epistles and other parts tell us many things about Jesus, but it's the Gospels that give the record of his birth, of his baptism, and of the Spirit's work within him as he began a ministry that went basically about 3.5 years before he, according to the predetermined plan of the Father, went to the cross and died and then rose again. So interacting with the Gospels, it's been interesting to consider again the way that Jesus taught, the way that he lived, how he interacted with his disciples. Now, perhaps if you've read, when you've read the New Testament, or as you've done that, and especially the Gospels, maybe you think at different times, wouldn't it be great if I could go into a time machine and go back to that time and actually sit at the feet of Jesus like his disciples got to and hear the words that he says and learn directly from him. How privileged were they to have that experience? And it could be very well in our minds, it would be easy for us to think that there was a great advantage that these apostles and other disciples had when they could actually see and hear the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and experience that. It would seem to be a great advantage. And yet the text we're going to consider today suggests something different. And so I encourage you to tune in and listen. If you're here in the parking lot at Grand River Community Church, I want to welcome you again, encourage you to listen in. If you're listening in online, then I encourage you to focus in, because these are very important words for us. It's a different word than what we might expect. We may feel that those disciples had a distinct advantage, and yet we're going to be looking at the upper room discourse parts of it that we have in John, not all of the upper room discourse, but a few verses from John 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus is alone with his disciples and begins to tell them about the fact that he is going away. But then he says in John 16 these wonderful words. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus says it's to the advantage of the disciples that he would go, because if he goes away, he would send the Helper. And the Greek word for that, helper, means comforter, helper, one who comes alongside to aid. And we'll see more about this a little bit later. But this is one of the great titles for the person of the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see. And so we're going to consider the person of the Holy Spirit, consider some important things about him today and over the next few weeks. I want to notice initially that the Holy Spirit comes from the Father and the Son. This was a debate that the early church had, and even the church in the West, the church in the East, were divided over where does the Holy Spirit come from? Does he just come from the Father? Does he just come from the Son? Does he come from both the Father and the Son? And some people would, the Eastern Church said just from the Father. The Western Church, the tradition we're a part of, says from the Father and the Son. And we'd say, why does it matter? It does matter because of the presence of Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes, we see the presence of Christ come with him. And this is what we're going to see as we consider this text. In John 14, verse 26, we have a statement that the Lord Jesus Christ makes there. He says this: when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And so he says, when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father. So he's coming from the Father, but also coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will testify about me. Again, in chapter 14, if we go back to verses 15 to 17, we read these words, where the Lord Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Again, so he has this reference to the Father sending the Holy Spirit, who will come to abide with those disciples and abide with us, will be with them forever. And he will be with them and he will dwell in them. And we also have reference to the Holy Spirit being sent more specifically by the Son, again in John 16, that verse that we read that says, in verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer will see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. And so again, here we have a reference to Jesus sending the Holy Spirit. He says it's to our advantage that he does this, that if he doesn't go away, he will not send the Holy Spirit. So it's his advantage to go away. He says this to his disciples at a time when they were discouraged about the fact that he would be leaving. The Holy Spirit will convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will work to make people aware of their sin. And he will guide into all truth. And he especially did this with the disciples, to guide them into truth so that they would be able to write what they did in the Scriptures. And the reason that the Holy Spirit comes is so that he will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said. He will glorify of me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. So the reason that God the Holy Spirit was sent to us is not just to guide us into truth, but also to be a floodlight onto the Lord Jesus Christ, to reveal to us who the Lord Jesus Christ is, to reveal more about who he is. And so it is both the Father and the Son that send the Holy Spirit. And this is an important thing for us to realize, because what it means is that the Holy Spirit brings the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. And let's consider that for a moment right now. If we go back to John 14, I want to read again from verse 15, and we read this: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it does not, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Very important text. We notice that he says, I will send to you another helper. And the Greek word that is the word for another is an interesting word. There's two Greek words where you could speak about another in the Greek New Testament. One of them means another of a different kind. So I'm going to say this is something different. This is another, and it is different. Then there's the Greek word that another that means another of the same kind. Another that is the same or similar or exact or very closely similar. And this is the word that's used here. I'll send you another helper like the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so very important for us as believers, that we understand that we're not alone, that Jesus isn't far from us, but the Holy Spirit is the one that brings Jesus to us. That's why he could say in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. We can consider that understanding and that background when we read great prayers like Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul has this great prayer that he offers up for the believers in Ephesus and even for us in some sense today. And he says this in Ephesians 3 and verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with power in his Spirit in the inner man. That's what he says, that we would be strengthened. Why? For what reason? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height and breadth, what is the breadth and length, rather, and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Here we read about, we read Paul praying that we would be granted according to the riches of the glory of God, the riches of his glory, to be strengthened in our inner being through the power, through the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. How does Christ dwell in our hearts by faith? Well, it is the Holy Spirit who brings the presence of Christ. This is the Spirit of Christ. That's how he is described. He comes to dwell in our hearts by faith. And this is so very important for us to consider as we think about the work of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Again, in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul, we read this text and about there being no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. We walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Notice what he says in verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And then interchangeably he says, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He is also the Spirit of Christ, or from Christ. He is Christ's presence to us, bringing his presence to us to comfort us. And it's a great thing to consider. This is what one of the great ministries of God the Holy Spirit. We're going to consider others in weeks to come, but one of the great things that God the Holy Spirit does is bring comfort. It's Mother's Day, and many children look to their mothers and for comfort. And we want to celebrate moms and grandmothers that are here at Grand River Community Church, those that are listening online. Moms are wonderful, because they do bring comfort and bring so much help to those that they care for. It is God the Holy Spirit that brings us help and comfort in the most difficult days. I want you to consider with me again the presence of Jesus, this idea that Jesus is always with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Again, John 14. Verse 14 says, if you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper. And the word helper there is paraclete, one who comes alongside, one who is there to help, one who's there to comfort. Not somebody far away, but somebody who comes right with us. That's one of the things we've been experiencing in this pandemic, isn't it? That it's one thing to see somebody on a computer screen. It's another thing for them to come alongside you and be immediately present with you. We miss that. We long for that. Here, Jesus says this: the Holy Spirit, as He comes to be alongside us, comes to be the one who helps us. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, could say that it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to pray with groanings that can't be uttered, that helps us in our prayers. And He's come to be with us forever. We're never, in that sense, without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth. And Jesus says again, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit. That's the one that brings us comfort, that brings us into the presence of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us, that guides us as we read the Word, makes that Word come alive and real to us when we're struggling to understand it. The Spirit of God illuminates it to us, bringing the presence of Christ to us. When Jesus left this earth and ascended into heaven, He did not leave us alone. And in these difficult days when we're experiencing lockdown and all the negative effects of COVID, and we're getting weary of all that, we may wonder, where is God and where is His presence? And we have this promise that we have the presence and help of God, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the presence of Christ with us through the person of the Holy Spirit all of the time. And so we can rejoice in that. And be grateful in that we are not alone, that we have God's presence through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so let's sing a closing song, Holy Spirit, Rain Down. This is a recognition that we need the presence of the Spirit and His work in our lives as we come to stand on the Word of God before God. And so let's sing together.